Romans chapter 12, continuing on here. Going to start at verse 6 and read through the first part of verse 9. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for the truth here in your word. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us growth pills. You have given us vitamins. You have given us minerals. You've given us everything we need to grow in you as a body, not just individually, but as a body. You have provided that. And Lord God, all it is for us is to use what you have given. All there is just to utilize it, to share it. Because Father, you want the body, your body, that you have Christ as the head and we are the body. You want your body to grow spiritually. We praise you. Thank you for giving us all that we need. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul the Apostle wrote the book about justification by faith. We spent the first 11 chapters looking at the fact that we're justified by faith alone. He showed that we're condemned and the faith of Abraham, and he goes through and says that the world is justified now and we can have this freely. We can have it freely. And he goes and talks about sin in 6 and 7 and how sin, not even to mess with. It's not part of us anymore. It's not our focus anymore. And how living with sin, we come to the conclusion, a wretched man that I am. But then he says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he gives us security, the security we have. But then he shows Israel's past and says, well, Israel cries, no fair, no fair. Look at us. I mean, God chose us. And so he answers all of the questions that Israel would have had with prophecy, the prophecy that God has already given. And then he gets into chapter, well, before that, he kind of explodes with praise. His explosion comes with praise. But then he gets into chapter 12, and it's more of the practical. Okay, now we understand who we are. We understand that we have faith. We're justified by faith. We understand that it's set. It's done. It's a done deal. Here it is. So then he says, okay, now our life. Here's our life. And what about our life? How does it flow? How does it live? How does it go? And so he starts answering those things in chapter 12. He shows us the picture of the body and the unity that we are to have. And he starts chapter 12, verse 1, and he says, look, by the mercies of God, because of the mercies of God, I beseech you to have your body as a living sacrifice. Because of the mercies of God, because he has given us, not given us what we truly deserve. He has not put upon us punishment that we deserve. So he goes into that, talks about that, and talks about the unity of the body. And he gets to verse 6. And he has something here that helps build the unity. That something is the gifts that he gives. What we're going to look at today is God's gifts. And they are to promote unity. God's gifts promoting unity. Look at the reality of the gifts. Look at verse 6. It says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in the serving, and so on. But he starts off, he says, since we have gifts. The word since we have is interesting. It's in the present tense, it's in the active voice, which means it's happening. It's happening, all right? But it's also a participle, which means it's an ongoing happening. It's ongoing in the process. So it's continuing to happen. What God has given to us, he's given to us since salvation. When you were saved, when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord, when you understood that we're saved by grace through faith, and that all there was to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Him as your Lord, as your Savior, as your Master. When you have put your faith in Christ instead of putting your faith in yourself, God gave you something. God gave you a specific something, all right? That specific something, and it's an ongoing gift. It's not just God gave a gift and forgot about you. It's an ongoing thing, all right? It's the way the word is. It's an ongoing thing. He gave us something specific. Look what it says. Since we have gifts, and the word that differ, I want to wait on that for a minute because that's not where it's at right there. But he says, since we have gifts according to the grace given to us. All right, now the word gifts, it's an interesting word. It's the word charismata. Charismata. We get our word charismatic from. So you see, what we have, the word charis is grace. That's the root word of it is grace. So what we have is a grace gift. Now, what is a grace gift? I mean, what does grace mean? Well, a grace gift would be a gift that is not deserved. On Wednesday night, I had the youth group, and I was talking to them down there, and I gave an illustration of if one of the guys walked in, and I gave him $100. Said, here you go. I said, why? I didn't do anything for it. Nope, that's a gift. It's yours. I said, did you deserve it? A couple of the other guys said, I do. How about me? All right? No, they didn't deserve it. I gave it. Okay, so that's a grace gift. It's something that is given that we don't earn, we don't try for. It's just given. It's given freely. And God gave us this, all right? He did it at salvation. It's not something that we deserve. Because do any of us deserve anything from God? Our actions, are our thoughts, are our lives lived in such a way that God owes us something? I mean, does God really owe us anything? No. God made us. God is He is sovereign. He is over all. He is holy. He is righteous. He doesn't owe us anything. There's nothing we can do to deserve something from God. What God has given us here specifically is a gift, a grace gift. And this grace gift is according to something. Because literally, let me read it to you literally, the way it is. I got to find it. Maybe I won't read it to you literally. I know I've got it in here, and I know I probably... Oh, here it is. All right. This is what it says. But since we are having grace gifts according to the grace given to us that differ... Okay? So the words that differ there are in a different place in the original language. The original... It makes more sense if you put it this way, and which is why it was put this way. But literally, it's since we have gifts according to the grace given to us that differ, right? And the term that differ, the phrase there that differ, it makes a difference because if we all had the same gifts, I mean, how boring would that be? And it would be a competition. All right, it would always be a competition. Well, I'm doing better in gifts than you are. It would always be a competition. Here, he diversified the gifts to help us. But where it is in the sentence matters, okay? Because I want you to see that. What it says in verse 6, since we have gifts according to the grace given to us. Since we have grace gifts according to the grace given. He uses the same word. Grace gifts according to the grace given to us. Now, we have these gifts, these grace gifts, and they are according to the grace given to us. Now, I've given the illustration before of somebody with a lot of money. If I had $1 billion and you came and I knew you had a true need, I knew you were not squandering it or anything, but you had a true need, and I said, you know what, here's $25. Go and be filled and be happy. And that's giving out of my wealth. If I had $1 billion, I'd give you $25. There's... I'm giving you out of my wealth. That's ek, the word ek. But the word kata, the word giving according to my wealth, epi, not kata, epi. But anyway, according to my, if you came and you said, well, okay, here's $5 million. I can do that because I've got $1 billion, so I can actually give you $5 million to take care of your needs or whatever. So I'm giving you according to my wealth, not out of my wealth, but according. So I'm giving you something that kind of matches my wealth, okay? And that's what the word means. When it says he's given us, since we have gifts that are according to the grace. So according to however big this grace is that God has given is what our gifts are. Do you realize how big God's grace is? Do you realize how great the grace of God is? I mean, what is it? What favor do we have from God that is not grace? When Jesus Christ came and died for us, was that earned? Was that something we deserved? Was that something that we that God had to do for us? No. It wasn't something that must be done. It was something that we needed, that had to be done because we needed it, but it wasn't something that he had to do because he owed us. It was grace. It's an undeserved gift. A gift that is totally undeserved. And that's what he gave us. Everything God has given us. He's given us life. He's given us his love. He's given us everything is by his grace. It's because of his grace. And so how big is his grace? I mean, is it this big? Is it this big? How big is God's grace? And if he's given this spiritual gift to each one of us who've trusted Christ, if he's given you and given me a spiritual gift, according to that grace, how big is our spiritual gift? Well, you know, God didn't give me much to work with. You know, I can't do very much of anything. How big is your God? How big is the grace that he's given you? Because he gave us grace gifts according to that massive grace. He gave us something better. And you know what? You know what the fun part is in all this? They're in a couple other places in Scripture too. It's in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. It talks about gifts. So this is not an exhaustive list here of the spiritual gifts. But it's just, it proves his point. All right? It's giving Paul a point to prove. What Paul is saying here is that, you know what? God has given us a spiritual gift to use. Now, is that spiritual gift that he gives to us for our benefit? See, I would contend that that spiritual gift that he gives to us is not for our benefit, though it does benefit us. It's for the benefit of the body. Because what has he just said? He had just talked about in verse 5. He says, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So my spiritual gift is primarily to help you. Your spiritual gift is primarily to help me. Not so much to help, mine isn't so much to help me. Why? Because if it is, that's where pride builds up. That's where we become proud of our gifts. Oh, look at me. I'm the pastor. Don't you wish you were that? Okay, there it is. All right? Why? Because we're human. Because we tend to take that. We grab it and we go with it. We see it as a competition. And you know what? God's desire is not a competition. His desire is for a body. What happens when your arm hurts? Your hand grabs it, right? What happens when your leg hurts? Your other leg takes up some slack. You limp on one. Why? Because this is one body. This is all part of the body, and each part helps the other part out. My hand doesn't say, well, you stupid arm, what's the matter with you? Right? That's not what, because this is a, well, sometimes I do. But this is a part of the body. All right, the body works together, and that's how the spiritual body is. That's why he uses the unity of the body. He uses it as a picture. But my spiritual gift, your spiritual gift, is according to God's grace. How big is God's grace? It's massive. What is our spiritual gift? It's massive. All right? Whether we use it or not is the key. Look what he says. All right, this is... One of the next, the expression of the gifts, the expression of gifts. And like I said, this is not an exhaustive list, but this is to prove a point. And the point that he wants to prove is interesting. In verse 6, the end of verse 6, if prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if prophecy, the word prophecy literally is to declare openly or to make known publicly, to proclaim. If someone who proclaims or to declare openly the truth, then according to the proportion of his faith, and the word proportion is it means a right relationship to or a correspondence to. So in a right relationship to his faith. So in other words, what I want you to see here is it's not saying here is that if your spiritual gift is prophecy, you have to have a whole bunch of faith to use it. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is if your spiritual gift is prophecy, then you need to use that prophecy in the avenue of faith. In other words, don't go outside of faith with it. Can you ever go outside of faith with prophecy or with speaking something openly? Yeah, you can. Wolves in sheep's clothing, what do they speak? Satan, what did he speak? He took God's word and twisted it. Right? Yes, it can happen outside the avenue of faith. But he says in the proportion or in the right relationship to your faith. That's where the prophecy is. And the prophecy to proclaim or to make known publicly. All of prophecy, by the way, all of prophecy must be proven by Scripture. God's word is preeminent. And that's why I tell you to be like the Bereans. What were the Bereans like? They accepted the word that was preached to them with joy. Said, hey, this is great. This is God's word. And then they went home and they looked it up. Make sure they weren't being fed a line. Why? Because God's word is preeminent. Because what is spoken must be of the truth. So the point, let's get to the point he's making here. Because the point I believe he's making here is that all of these, it's not just about having the gifts. God has given spiritual gifts to every believer. It's not just about having the gifts, but it's about using the gifts, helping others with the gift. The point here is using them, not having them. And I'll go on and show you that. Look what it says in the next verse, verse 7. If service in a serving, he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation. Okay? He's saying if service, and the word service is helps. Or have you ever found someone with the gift of service? Because if you find someone with the gift of service, they can see a need a lot quicker than you can. They can see a true need extremely quick. If you found someone who with the gift of teaching, they can make a complex issue understandable. They can make something that you read it and you look at it and you just can't get, they can make it understandable where you can actually see what it's saying. Have you found someone with the gift of exhortation? The next one in verse 8. To exhort means, I better look this one up. To exhort means to call together or to encourage. Have you found someone that you just being around them encourages you? And it's not like they're happy and bubbly all the time. It's just, but what they say encourages you in your life. Or the next one. Look at the next one. In verse 8. He who gives with liberality. There are those who God has entrusted more to because God wants to use them to give. And this is talking about material things. It's talking about what is needed. Giving what is needed. Have you ever met someone like? Because I have. I've met people like that they have that innate ability to understand what is truly needed, and they give towards it. Or the last, look at the last couple. He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy, cheerfulness. He who leads with diligence, and the word diligence here, let me find it. The word diligence is to do quickly, to do one's best, earnestly, wanting to, right? That leadership, to do it, almost excited to do it, all right? To have that ability, to have that ability to lead in a situation. And also, showing mercy, the last one. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Mercy is not giving what is deserved. Having a true gift of God, that sharing their heart with others. But not giving what is deserved. What it deserved may be a rebuke. And yet to give that mercy. Okay? So all of these, and by the way, you look at it, if service in his serving, if teaches in his teaching, if exhorting in his exhortation, he who gives, the word with literally is in liberality. And liberality actually means genuineness, in genuineness. what's the next one? He who leads with diligence, the word with is actually in again. So what Paul is saying here is, look, you have spiritual gifts. God has blessed you with spiritual gifts. He has given them according to his grace, which is massive. So you have this overabundant spiritual gift. And he says, it's no good just having it unless you're using it. You have it, but how I want you to use it, or how you see it, how it helps, is to use it. So having this gift of service is no good unless you're serving. Having the gift of giving is no good unless you're giving. Having the gift of prophecy is no good unless you're prophesying. Having is no good unless you are, okay? So what Paul's point is here, look, he's gone through 11 chapters and shown us that we're justified by faith and by faith alone. And he says, God has blessed you and given you gifts, spiritual gifts, that will build the body. And all there is to follow God and use them, to utilize them, to utilize them, to utilize them. Okay? Now, in all of these, I've left out one thing. All right? If you look at every one of them, there is not one of them that does not include serving. Serving people. Every one. Look at leadership. What does a good leader do? He serves his people. What does someone with mercy do? They serve people. What does someone who exhorts do? Serve people. What does someone with the gift of prophecy, someone who speaks forth the word, do? They serve people. We had a guy come to Calvary one time. He says, there's three things you need to know. If you're ever the pastor, if you're ever the leader in your church, there's three things that you have to do in order for it to work. Three things that you absolutely have to do. Love your people, love your people, love your people. Because you look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. And the word without hypocrisy is genuine. Genuine. Let love be genuine. And this word for love is agape. How do we genuinely love each other as the body of Christ? How do we genuinely love each other? Take what God gives you and use it. Because what God has given is according to his grace. And what God has given will build each other up spiritually. We'll build each other up in such a way that we are drawn closer to God, that we understand God, that we focus more on what is true spiritually in our life. So let love be genuine. How is love completely genuine? It is when we take what God has given and share it with the body of Christ. I think his point here is that we are one in unity. Now live as one in unity and grow in unity. How do we grow in unity? We grow in unity when we are serving each other. Isn't Christianity fun? We get to serve each other. We get to help each other. We get to help each other grow. We get to see the body grow as we are utilizing the spiritual gifts that He gives. And He gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us huge spiritual gifts. Especially when they're from our heart. In their use, using the spiritual gifts, the grace gifts that God gives, when God prompts, is showing true love. All of them involve serving others, helping the body grow spiritually, showing Christ and His Christ-like qualities as we live and promote and further the kingdom of God. You know, all of this naturally follows. I think that's why he put it here. All of this naturally follows the first 11 chapters. Who we are in Christ. We understand who we are in Christ, that what we have done at salvation is accept the true gift of God that he gifts us to help build each other. He gifts us to help grow the body. Not numerically. We're not talking about getting more and more and more and more people and having a mega church. We're not talking about that. We're talking about growing spiritually, the body. You know, some of the greatest times of church growth were in persecution. They didn't grow numerically, but they grew in purity, they grew in faith, they grew in love, they grew spiritually. And that was because they helped each other. As you understand your gift, as you see, you can utilize it. And in your using, in the process of using your gift is where you see growth. It's amazing how God uses us, isn't it? We don't deserve to be used. And yet, and he doesn't need us. He could use trees to do what we do. He could use grass to do what, he could use anything he wanted, yet he chose us. And he has gifted each one of you, he has gifted each one of us with a specific gift that will help us as a body grow in Christ, understand our Father, serve each other. And you know what that does? That shows the world a unified body that loves, and that shows the world something that they want. And then the world asks, and we get to direct the world to our Father. So all of this is not just for us, folks. All of this is promoting our Father who loves us and who has given us all of the grace gifts we need. If you have never trusted in Christ, then you need to understand that the grace gifts that God gives are for His children. And He wants you. He wants you to have it. He wants you to be His child. I'd love to show you from God's Word how you can have salvation. If you have trusted in Christ, then know this. You have a specific grace gift from God, and I need it. I don't need the gift. I need you utilizing the gift. I need it to grow. I need to see God's love worked out through you. You need to see it worked out through me. We need each other. We are one body. We're not 50 bodies. We're one body in Christ. We're one spiritual body. That's how God uses us. That's how He has planned it all. And that's what He wants to do. Yield to Him as He prompts you. Utilize what God's given you. If you don't know, try. Try something. Try something. This isn't an exhaustive list of His spiritual gifts. There's more throughout Scripture. But know this, His desire is that you utilize, that you help each other. Pray for each other. Start out there. Pray for each other. And then as He prompts you, serve Him. Serve Him as He prompts you. Not as I do, but as He does. Let's close in prayer.